Om Shanti 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 Om. Peace. Good evening. It's good to be with you once again. I welcome you with all my heart. Never forget the purpose of why you're here. It is truly absolute reality, and there is no purpose. The universe has no purpose for existing. You have no purpose for existing. In the absolute reality. But as long as you believe you are a body or a mind, then your purpose is to become no purpose. You spend your energy becoming nothing. But do not believe you're nothing when you haven't become nothing yet. Be honest with yourself. See where you're coming from by the way you react to life situations every day. This will tell you where you are at by the way you see yourself reacting to life's predicaments. Life will present to you many predicaments, and it's up to you to see these things in the right perspective. Never to be frightened, never to believe anything is wrong, always to know. Even though you believe you are a body, you are not alone. There is the pure awareness that is with you all the time, just awaiting your recognition. Awaiting your understanding that you are not a body, that you are a spirit. Called the Atman, Brahman, absolute reality. This is who you really are. This is your real nature. You've heard me talk on many occasions on the subject of love, compassion, and humility. These three things are very important to understand. They have to be nurtured and developed. When you understand with love, compassion, you know who you really are. At that time, you become a living embodiment of the truth. And the self will pull your ego into the heart center, and you will become liberated and free. When I speak to you of all these things, I'm referring to my own experiences. Therefore, do not take these things I say lightly. Even though I tell you many times, do not believe a word I say. It sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't. You are not to believe anything I say. Yet you are to reflect and ponder on the things I say at the same time. Trying to become a living embodiment of the highest truth. When I had my spiritual awakening at 14 years old, this body was sitting in a classroom taking a math test. And all of a sudden, I felt myself expanding. I never left my body, which proves that the body never existed to begin with. I felt the body expanding, and a brilliant light began to come out of my heart. I happened to see this light in all directions. I had peripheral vision. And this light was really myself. It was not my body and the light. They were not two. There was this light that became brighter and brighter and brighter. The light of a thousand suns. I thought I would be burnt to a crisp. But alas, I wasn't. I haven't come to that soon. But this brilliant light, which I was a center, and also the circumference, expanded throughout the universe. And I was able to feel the planets, the stars, the galaxies, as myself. And this light shone so bright, yet it was beautiful. It was bliss. It was ineffable, indescribable. After a while, the light began to fade away. And there was no darkness. There was just a place between light and darkness. The place beyond the light. You can call it a void, but it wasn't just a void. It was this pure awareness I always talk about. I was aware that I am that I am. I was aware of the whole universe at the same time. There was no time, there was no space. There was just the I am. Then everything began to return to normal, so to speak. And I was able to feel and understand that all of the planets, the galaxies, the people, the trees, the flowers on this earth, everything, were myriads of energy. And I was in everything. I was the flower. I was the sky. I was the people. The I was everything. Everything was the I. The word I encompassed the whole universe. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. I felt a love, a compassion, a humility, all at the same time. That is truly indescribable. It wasn't a love that you are aware of. Think of something that you really love, or someone that you really love with all your heart. Multiply this by a jillion million trillion, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. This particular love is like no thing that ever exists on this earth, consciously. There's nothing you can compare it with. It is beyond duality, beyond concepts, beyond words and thoughts. And since the I, which I was all pervading, there was no other place for anything else to be. There was no room for anything because there was no space. There was no time. It was just the I am. Ever present. Self-existent. The love of everything was the love of the self. This is why in scripture it tells you to love your brother or your sister. To love everyone, everything, under all circumstances. This love couldn't differentiate. It couldn't say, you're good, so I love you, you're bad, so I don't love you. Everything was going on as myself. I realize I am the murderer. I am the saint. I am the so-called evil on this earth. I am the so-called goodness of this earth. Everything was the self. And it was all a game. All of the energy particles change from one thing to another thing. But the love never changed. Another word for this love was compassion. There was this fabulous, fantastic compassion. For everything. For everything was the self. The I am. There was no differentiation. There was not me, what you call me, and those things. There was only one expression. And that was consciousness. Of course, I didn't understand all those words at that time. There were no words like I'm talking about now. I'm trying my best to speak intelligently and try to use words to explain what happened, but you can't. All of the games that people were playing on all of the planets throughout the universe, was really the self. It was all the self. And I realized that nothing else existed but the self. Yet all of these things, the multiplicities of planets, of galaxies, of people, of animals, were really the self. Again, there are no words to describe this. I felt and knew that these multiplicities did not exist. Things did not exist. Only the self existed. Only consciousness, pure awareness. Yet at the same time, creation came into existence. And there's no creation. We can't understand this in human form. As long as we're thinking with our brains, it's incomprehensible. For how can they both be simultaneously creating each other? There was creation going on, and yet there was no creation at all. There was no creation taking place, and creation was taking place. Sounds like the thoughts of a madman. And it seemed normal. There was absolutely nothing strange about this at all. Being nothing and everything at the same time. So this great compassion was there. Since I was everything, the compassion was for everything. Nothing was excluded. For the things were really the self. And then there was this fantastic humility. The love, compassion, humility are all synonymous. I'm trying to break it down to make you understand to an extent what was going on. The humility was there not to change anything. Everything was right just the way it was. Planets were exploding. New planets were being born. Suns were evaporating. New suns were being born. From the suns the planets came. And then life began on the planets. All this was taking place instantaneously. At the same time. And yet nothing was taking place at all. Therefore, the humility is that everything was all right. There was nothing I had to change. There was nothing I had to correct. The people dying of cancer were in the right place, for nobody dies. And there was no cancer. Wars, man to humanity to man, was all part of it. there cannot be a creation if there was not an opposite to good. In order to have a creation, there has to be opposites. There has to be the bad guy and the good guy. I was able to understand all these things. And the next thing I remember is my teacher was shaking me. I was the only one left in the class, everybody had gone to the ballroom. And I had not even started the mathematics test. Of course, I got a great big zero. But those feelings and the understanding never left me. From that time on, my whole life changed. I was no longer interested in the school. I was no longer interested in the friends I had. I won't go any more than that for now, as far as that's concerned. The point I'm trying to make is this. If the end result of realization is love, compassion, and humility, what if we were able to develop these qualities now? You see what I'm getting at? If we're able to develop this love, this beautiful, joyous love, for everything, without exception, without being judgmental, and we had a great compassion for everything, without being judgmental. You can't have a compassion for one thing and not for another thing. And then, of course, there's humility. Humility means we don't have to try to straighten things out, to get even, to stick up for our rights. For there's no one really left to do that. Well, some of us were to work on those aspects. It will lift us up. And make us free. This is something for you to think about. We have to learn to leave the world alone. We become so involved in politics, in family life, in work, and the rest of these things we're involved in, that we forget that we only have so many years left on this earth, in the body, and what are we doing with all of the time we have? We're spending the time on things that do not really exist, things that make no sense. Imagine you're in a play, in a theater, and you're playing a role, you're playing a part. All the time you're aware that you're playing the part. You're not really that person. It's only a part you're playing. In the same way, you are now playing a pawn. But you have forgotten you're playing a pawn. You think your body, the way it looks, the way it appears, what it does, what it acquires, is real. And you put all your energy into the game of playing the pawn. This is indeed a waste of energy. If you would only put your energy in finding the self that you really never lost, and you can do this by developing the quality of love, compassion, and empathy. This is another method you have to work on. As you're working on self-inquiry, work on the love. Work on the compassion. Work on the emotion. Do not just practice self-inquiry for a while and then react negatively to the world and have your feelings hurt. Be yourself. Awaken from the dream. Refuse to play any longer. Look at yourself all day long. See the things that you do. The thoughts that you have. The feelings that you have. It makes no difference what situation you're going through. It makes no difference what's going on in your life. The only thing that matters is what's going on inside of you. Karmically, you were put on this earth as a body to go through karmic experiences. Therefore, the experience you're going through is part of the Maya, the karma. Do not reflect on these things. This is important. You have to drop this. Leave it alone. If you only knew that nothing could ever happen to you, there never was a time when you were born, there will never be a time when you die. You have always lived. You are consciousness. You have always existed. Identify with your existence. Merge into the existence of nothingness. I tell you this again and again, leave the world alone. Remember what I mean when I say to leave the world alone. I'm not saying that you should voluntarily, consciously, make a plan of how you're going to leave the world alone. You'll not be able to live up to it. By leave the world alone, I mean entertain in your mind higher thoughts. always have in the back of your mind, I am not the body. I am not the doer. I am not the mind. Feel this. Feel it deeply. Do not feel good or bad about it. Do not try to prolong your life. It's a waste of energy. What you call your life will take care of itself. It knows what to do better than you do. We're very limited in our understanding about the body or the affairs of the body, what's going on in the body. Do not try to do anything with your body. Your body will do whatever it came here to do. It knows what to do. Separate yourself from that. Of course, you may do this by inquiring, to whom does the body come? Who has this body? And remain in the silence. Many of us here this evening are making tremendous progress. From talking to many of you, we're really getting there. Of course, I use all these terms loosely. There's nowhere to get. But yet I have to talk to you this way, to remind you to leave yourself alone. I know that some of you may be in pain sometimes, and you say, well, I want to live a life free of pain. Therefore, I have to do things to myself so I'll be free of pain. This is really a mistake. If you only realize who has the pain, to whom does the pain come? I have the pain. Then who am I? If I have the pain, it means that the person is thinking these things that I have the pain. So it is I who have the pain. You are free of pain. For you are not the actual. Remember, the I we're talking about now is the thought. The I thought that has the pain and the experience of being born, the experience of dying, the experience of having problems. This is the I thought that has these things, not you. You have to vehemently make up your mind that the only thing that matters to you is to become free, liberated, and let go of all the other things that keep you bound. This is why you have to work with love, compassion, and humility. For if this is the end result of awakening, if you do this first, the awakening will come faster. Even while I'm talking to you, some of you are thinking about your body, you're thinking about the mind, you're thinking about your work. This is what keeps you back. Destroy the thoughts through self-inquiry. Become free. Do not fight. Do not fear. Observe, watch, look. But have no opinions for or against. Some people think if they act this way, they'll not be able to function in the world. You will function. Always remember there's an appearance of the body. And the body came here to do certain things, and it's going to do those things. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's interesting that I'm really talking to myself. Because it's only the self. So why am I talking to myself? I must be crazy. Many times when I talk to you, I have to keep from laughing.
Don't restrain yourself.
Explaining all these things. Talking about all these things. When you are already free, and you already know these things. Sometimes I put a different version. Well, there's really no thing. When I talk of God, we're speaking of nothingness. God is nothing. nothing is you. We get people involved when we study, when we read. We get people involved. The Maya. Why can't you be yourself and all that? Why do you have to go through all these things? And making sure we're talking to you in this place. Just know what I can be doing. If you didn't have to talk to me. I could be watching Tales for the Crypt.
You see mystery at times. Yeah.
All is wrong. Simple. Be yourself. When you are yourself, the thoughts come slowly to you until they cease. And the thoughts becoming slower and slower into your mind. And the thoughts begin to disappear. You automatically become loving, compassionate, and love and open. In other words, the faster you lose your thoughts, the faster these influences come, the more confidence. So it's a matter of stopping your thoughts. It is the source that sees everything as well, as good and bad, not and bad. As the source begins to subside, love comes by itself, compassion and love come by itself. So then we have to stop thinking.
I like to check this intellectual right. In Hindu mythology, Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Shiva is the destroyer. why an individual, if he has a deep understanding, shouldn't meditate on I am Shiva.
Should meditate on I am Shiva.
Sir?
Should not meditate on I am Shiva, you say?
There's reason, no reason why we shouldn't.
No reason
why we should meditate. Oh, you say you should.
No, I'm asking you, what did you say? You should or you shouldn't?
There's no reason why I shouldn't. In other words, I should.
Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma are all part of the story of creation. Just like in our Bible in the West, Adam and Eve were the first people to be born. And God loved the world so much that he created Adam and Eve. They're both stories for children who are curious about creation's story. So the Hindu mythology are for the common people. The people need these stories to make them understand how things began and what's going on. So they say Brahma created the world, Vishnu sustains it, and then after a while, Shiva destroys it and becomes nothing, pure consciousness again. And then creation begins once again. And of course those are stories which are applicable to those people who can't understand that nothing exists. There never was a Brahma, there never was a Shiva, and there was no Vishnu. And nothing was ever destroyed because nothing was ever created. This is too much for some people. So all these books have been written for the masses, so that they may comprehend all of this.
I believe you said one time that Maharshi even paid homage to Shiva, but let's give it for compassion.
Yes.
So in that light, might it not be appropriate for someone to pay homage to Shiva as long as we honestly identify with the mind and body? It's sort of like believing
it. Sure, this is what it's for. I am not saying that to pay respect to Shiva, enjoy Shiva. Shiva is Shiva. Not Shiva, take care of himself. It all depends where you're coming from. When all these scholarly people used to come to Ramana Maharshi, these pundits, they memorize the Upanishads, the Vedas, the nerves in my heart, and they recite all these things. And they would ask Ramana, is this all necessary? And he would just say, yes, yes, it's all necessary, keep it up. Because he realized he would be arguing with these people for 5 hours. So he agreed with everybody. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, agree quickly with thy adversary. Don't argue with someone. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion as thought. Let people believe what they want. Every human being on this earth is in a different grade in the school. The universe is like a schoolroom. We're all in different grades. Some people have to believe this, and some people have to believe that. That's what makes Maya so interesting. There's a multiplicity of thoughts, of forms, of things, of everything. And everybody wants to stick up for their rights and for their point of view. So let them. They're all right. The reason they're all right is because it's all coming from their mind. They are creating God in their image. Think of the God you believe in. Jehovah, Christ, Allah. These are all names given to the one God, Amen. And people worship these gods in different ways. It's all good. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this. But when you begin to practice Advaita Vedanta, non-duality, you transcend all the belief systems. You transcend the whole world, the whole universe. You get rid of everything. So there's nothing left for you to hold on to. And when there's nothing left for you to hold on to, you then become yourself. Until then, believe all the things about you.
Someone said to me once that to criticize someone else's spiritual development would be as ridiculous as criticizing someone for being, say, the age of 3 because you were not.
Yes, of course. That's why all is well. Everything's in its right place. There are no mistakes. That's why I keep emphasizing again and again, leave the world alone. Do not criticize people. Let them believe what they like.
Criticize somebody's interpretation that that person should be more like me, and that's no good. I mean, where I am and he's where he is, it's not up to me to do what I do. I think you're okay.
More people should be like you, Frank.
Yeah, right.
Because you're a gentle, wonderful man. Even when you try to fight the world, you can't win. The world will always beat you down. So why fight? Leave everything alone. Try to remember what I mean when I say this. And leave everything alone. When I make these statements, I'm not speaking of physically. Physically, the body will do what it has to do. would clear your mind. Make the mind gentle, peaceful, and then allow the body to do what it will. Everything begins in the mind. Therefore, if you control the mind, you will be at peace. The quieter the mind becomes, the greater the self, the greater consciousness, pure awareness, express itself through. All you have to do is quiet the mind. Therefore, when I say leave everything alone, leave the world alone, leave people alone, I'm speaking of mentally. Do not sit at home or sit at the office and think about all the people who have hurt you or all the things that are wrong sometimes. Drop it. Keep the mind quiet. When the mind starts to fight you, when the mind starts to think about other things, you can say all is well. This will remind the mind that everything's okay just the way it is. Well, it's your turn to say something.
I have a little book that was written by a professor of philosophy in Fremont called I May Be Missing, But I'm Not Lost. And he calls them diagrams, and his wife did sayings, and his wife drew some stick figures with the diagrams. One of the first things he said, if I have to think about what words I'm going to use, how can I possibly teach philosophy? And then he goes on to say, words can be a formidable barrier to communication. And in another place he says, when you realize that the broken string to your yo-yo has never fastened to anything in the first place, there may be enlightenment.
That's a good one.
Yes, Bunsha. You must be the first one. Just some years ago, you know. But it's true. You know, it's true. You know, it's true. Something else, Marsh says, has been my pal for a long time. There's only one consciousness, I'm sure you're familiar with this, there's only one consciousness deeply distributed heavenly. You, through ignorance, give it unequal distribution. No distribution, no everything.
Sure. The one consciousness is all there is. He's not even a place of the trip of him.
No, that's right. Now, I guess what he just meant when he's impressing her pure in heart, is love. A purity of heart will be no contaminant. Contaminant in the heart would be a thought for the man thinks in his heart space. That's what it said.
That's good. Yes. You are a Bible scholar, friend.
No, I got all kinds of books. The Swami down here, you know, he's universal. The Swami down here used to quote Jesus to illustrate points he was making. That's where I got most Christian.
You're doing well, sir.
I'm doing well. I have a feeling I'm not doing well.
You know. You have a different feeling. You have absolutely nothing to do with yourself. You're all I saw.
I better bring the other extreme.
You never believe when we're sitting in silence and we're quiet for a while that nothing is happening. As many of you are aware, there is more going on in the silence than in the talking. The silence is pure awareness. Another form of meditation you can practice is just to watch the breath. Become observant of your breath. And as thoughts arise, inquire to whom they come. This quiets the mind considerably. Shanti, 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 peace. Keep working for the week, for the rest of the week on love, compassion, and humility. We have some of these, we're going to be positive.